We are continuing this morning in the series of lessons on Listen to the Animals. I think all of you boys and girls, those of you who have been here have enjoyed these and will continue to enjoy these. I find that some of the greatest lessons that we can learn in the Bible are found in object lessons. And so we have dealt with so many lessons, and this morning we're going to be dealing with the panting deer. I'm sure that all of us have seen deer. In fact, in West Tennessee now, it's dangerous to drive at night because you never know when one's going to jump out in front of you. I've seen deer in the zoo. I've seen them in different places. I don't know that I've ever seen a deer panting, or panting as we sometimes say, but I have seen other animals, especially dogs, with their tongue hanging out. They're so thirsty, they're wanting water. And that's the idea that's involved in this. First, let me share with you two passages of Scripture. Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And then back, just a page back in the 38th chapter, verses 9 and 10, "Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me." Have you ever been so thirsty that you just thought you couldn't exist if you didn't get something to drink very soon? That's the idea that's involved here. As the deer pants for the water, wants the water so much, so my soul pants for thee. I want you to turn in your song books to 843. 843. This song is based upon the first passage that I read today. "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee." Many times people will take passages of Scripture and will write a song based upon that passage. Hold your finger at that place and turn to number 55. This is a song that we sing regularly. But I wonder if you've really stopped to look at a part of it. This is the song, "Break Thou the Bread of Life." We use it sometimes at the Lord's Supper, although the main idea is teaching God's Word. But notice in the last part of the first verse, "My spirit pants for thee, O living word." And that's exactly what's said in those passages. In fact, I want to do something. As you know, I'm not much of a song leader, but let's sing a verse of these two songs, a verse or two. 843, I'd like to sing the first verse and the third verse. I think this may be a little bit new to some of you, and I don't know that I've ever led it, but that hasn't stopped us before, has it, John? So we'll just try it. You know, along with trying to do our best in singing, and we need to, it's very important that we think about what we're singing. Sing with the spirit and with the understanding. We need to understand what we're singing. Let's sing the first and last verse. "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. then turn to 59 and let's sing the first verse of that. 59. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaf beside the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Now picture in your mind a deer that is panting for the water, or some other animal if you want to, so thirsty that it just can't wait to get to the water to drink. And what's said in this passage and in these songs is that we need to have that same kind of passion, that same kind of thirst for God. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul is longing or yearning or seeking, desiring after God. Many times we have looked at passages like 23:7 of Proverbs, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I have thrown this idea out more than once here, especially to the young people. Remember, your attitude determines your altitude. In other words, your attitude is going to determine how far or how high you go in life. You're never going to accomplish much more than you really want to accomplish. It may be true that sometimes we're not able to accomplish everything we want to, but if we don't want to, we're not going to accomplish very much. Many times at the beginning of a gospel meeting, I will say to the audience, I'm not as concerned about whether you attend every service in this meeting as I am whether or not you want to attend. And I say that to the congregation here. We'd like to see everybody involved in every service that we have. But I'm not as concerned about being able to count how many we have in each service as I am each one of us wanting to be there. You know, down through the years, I can never remember a time that I had to be begged to go home. I think I could use that in this setting today. As the deer panteth for the water, I have always panted or desired to go home. I have driven 300 and 400 miles after I would close a meeting at night, back when my children were young especially, just to be able to get back home. As you've said many times, I have too. I'd rather sleep in my bed than anybody else's. It's just a little different, isn't it? And I'd rather be at my house. I don't care what it's like. I'd rather be home than anywhere. My dad used to say that so many times when I was a boy. I'd rather be home than anywhere. And I didn't understand it as much then as I do now. But I have never had to be begged. I've always wanted to go home, to be there. And I don't think I've ever had to be begged to go to church, to go to Bible study. Mother said to her son one morning, time to go to church. He said, I'm not going today. She said, yes, you need to go. No, I'm not going today. Well, she said, you need to go for two reasons. One, it's the right thing to do, and number two, you're the preacher. Well, we sort of expect the preacher to be there, don't we? But what kind of yearning, what kind of desire do you have? Let me share with you just a few things to think about. There are some people who, like the deer pants for water, pant for evil. I think I'm right in saying that there are some people who just live to do something that's bad. They major in crime. They desire to hurt people. They desire to do something that's wrong. Sometimes we'll have children that we'll say, act like they've got a demon. And they're just always looking to do something that's wrong. Well, most children are not like that. All children have some problems that have to be corrected. That's part of growing up. But I think I know some adults today. I think I see some described on television, some of these serial killers and especially some of these pedophiles that are just looking to harm children, seems like they're just yearning to do something that's wrong. They're just like that deer that was so thirsty and wanting the water. They're always looking for something that's wrong. Romans 1:27 says that in this setting of men burning in their desires one for another. This is describing the sinful nature of men related to men instead of the normal relationship that God has given. And he uses the word burned. They burned in their desires. That's that strong desire, that yearning for something. Matthew 5:28, we men are warned not to look on to a woman to lust after her. Love is great, but lust is wrong. And if we lust after another person or even lust after something, it's not good. Ephesians 4:19 describes some people who are doing bad things, and he says they do it with greediness. With greed. They're just greedy over that kind. They're just always looking for something to do that is bad. In 1 Corinthians 10:6, we should not lust after evil things. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wouldn't you agree with me that you know some people and you see some people reported in the news that it just looks like they're just out there greedily looking to do something that's wrong and to hurt other people? And so there are those who pant after evil, but there are some who pant to know God. They're just as desirous of knowing God as those others are of doing what is evil. Psalm 63:1 says, my soul thirsteth for thee. Notice, thirsty, wanting something. And I guess most of us have experienced that thirst of wanting something to drink so badly. My soul thirsteth for thee. Psalm 73:25 says, none I desire beside thee. Notice the word desire. I really desire God. John 7:37, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, Jesus said. If any man thirst, let him come to me. And Jesus referred to himself as the water of life. In Luke 24:32, there are two people described. It said that their heart burned in them. This is at the time that Jesus appeared to those two men on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize who he was at first, and they were thinking about the fact that he'd been crucified, and it says their heart burned. Their desire was so great to know what the truth was and to know what right was. And so in the same way that some people are always thirsting and panting and yearning for evil, thank goodness there are those who are thirsting and panting and looking for God. And to magnify that a little bit, there are some who pant to know God's will and his word and to preach it and to teach it. Matthew 5:6 is one of the Beatitudes. And I think we miss part of the point there. It's that one that says, blessed are the one, or it's the one that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I've used it, and others have too, to say that means that we're to hunger and thirst after God's word. But it says more than that. Notice it didn't say, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after God's word. It says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That would include God's word. But I think another way of saying is that blessed are those who want to always do right. I preached a sermon many years ago on the most important thing for all of us. And I talked about several things that are important and then came to the conclusion, and I really still believe that today, that the most important thing for each of us is to want to do what's right. We may not always know what's right. Certainly we all make mistakes and we won't always do what's right. But even you boys and girls, as you are listening to your parents and others, your teachers at school, if you want to do what's right and you're listening to try to determine what's right, that's going to have a big part to play in your development in life. In Psalms 119, which is that long psalm of 175 verses, in verse 47, 70, and 77, he says, my delight is in the word of God. Now think about that delight. Aren't there some things in which you delight? Usually mine is directed to eating. I just delight in chicken and dumplings. I just delight in pinto beans. Wednesday before I left to come back home, my sister cooked a big pot of pinto beans, and she said, "I'd like for you to take some of these home with you." And I just happened to have 2-pint jars with me. I happen to have a lot of things with me, and it really doesn't just happen. But anyway, she filled me 2-pint jars full of pinto beans, and she baked me, now some of you may not know what this is, she baked me a pone of cornbread. You know what a pone of cornbread is? I've had 4 meals out of that. I've had pinto beans 4 times in the last 3 days. And that cornbread's gone too. Somebody ate it. I just delight in pinto beans. There was a time when I was growing up on the farm that's all we had was pinto beans and cornbread. And I thought then, if I ever get away from these, I'm going to get me something else to eat. And now I'm trying to get back to those. If it hadn't been for pinto beans and cornbread, we'd have starved to death. I remember many a time I came in from the field. Mother had a big pot of beans on the old wood-burning stove. And now that's pinto beans. And cooked the bread. And I'd take the biggest plate that we had and crumble up bread all over that plate and then pour the beans and the juice over that. I was ready to go back to plowing after that. I delight in those things. Well, he says, the person that delights in God's word, Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20 at one time said, "I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm through with all of this. I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit." But then in verse 9 he said that God's word was in my heart as a burning fire. In other words, he just couldn't keep from it. And he continued to preach. I heard a story one time about a man, an old farmer that attended the congregation, and he couldn't sing well. He couldn't carry a tune, not only in a bucket, he couldn't carry one in a tub. But he would sing out more loudly than anybody else in the congregation. And so they decided that this was not good, and they assigned 2 men to go out and talk to him. Well, they went out to talk to him, and he was out in the field plowing with his old mule. And when they got close enough to him, they heard him singing as he plowed. I plowed with the mule, and I preached. A lot of the sermons that I preached when I was younger, I tried out on the mule. If he didn't kick, then I used it. But anyway, this man was singing as he was plowing. And so they got him to stop, and they told him that they'd had a meeting, and they thought maybe that his singing was disturbing people at church, and maybe he needed to control it a little bit. And he looked over at him and said, "Fellas, when I have a song in my heart, I just can't keep from singing. Get up." And his mule started, and he started singing and left them standing there at the side of the field. Well, I appreciate that old fellow. We need to learn to improve our singing if we can. But folks, we need to have a song in our heart. We need to have God's word in our heart to the point that we just can't keep from it. We just like that deer that pants for the water. We pant for the word of God. We pant for righteousness. And then the Bible talks about those who pant for heaven, who want to go to heaven more than anything else. We talk about going to heaven. But I think too many of us may be like the little story that I heard that brings a chuckle, and yet it's so true. Preacher said to the congregation, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, stand up." Everybody stood up but one man. He said, "Sir, don't you want to go to heaven?" "Oh," he said, "yes, but I thought you was getting up a load to go right now." And you know, I wonder if God were to appear to us, and he's not going to appear to us directly, but if he did and he said, "Giving you a choice, you can go on to heaven today or you can stay on earth," which one would we choose? I guess we're somewhat like Paul was in Philippians 1 when he said, "I'm in a strait betwixt the two, desiring to go on and be with Christ, which is far better, but because of your needs, wanting to stay," and I'm summarizing, wanting to stay on and continue to preach for a while. And I think I can honestly say to you, I sort of feel that way too. Having lost my wife some 18 months ago, there is a sense in which, even more so than before that, it would be good to die and to go on and to be with God and be with the loved ones that have gone before. But there's still a lot that I'd like to do, if it be God's will, in preaching his word and helping others and trying to lead others to Christ. I think I can sort of understand what Paul meant when he said he was in a strait betwixt the two. But honestly, do we really, really yearn for heaven? Do we want to go to heaven more than anything else? And do we keep that in mind as we make decisions in this life? In Colossians 3:1, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God." Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, I think there's the appropriate solution. While we're living here on earth, there's nothing wrong with us wanting to continue and do the things we're doing and help as many people as we can. But he said, be sure your affection is in heaven. Set your affection on heaven. Set your thirst on the things that are in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 2, Paul described how this house of this earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. And then he said, but have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. And he went ahead and said there that he was desiring, he was sort of yearning that he might be able to go there. Let me just turn there and read a verse or two because I think it is extremely important. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 2, after saying a house in hand, he said, for in this we groan. That's a word I couldn't think of for a moment there. We groan. Isn't that the same idea as panting or thirsting? Earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is in heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in the tent groan, he's using tent there in the sense of this earthly body, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. He said we are groaning. We desire to go to heaven. We have our affection set on things in heaven. And so the lesson today, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth for thee. We need to learn to seek God with a passion. You'll hear this word passion used in a lot of different ways. We're watching the ball games now, the March Madness. And frankly, some of those players play with a passion. That's all they think about, especially when they're on the court, is getting that ball through that hoop at the other end. That's their passion. That's their desire. And everything that they do back here is to get to that goal at the other end. They're playing with a passion. Most of us have a degree of passion for our work. If we really like what we're doing, we certainly want to, we desire, we have a passion for it. And that's the attitude that we need to have toward God and toward His work. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul pants, yearns, groans, desires God, His righteousness, His word, and above all, being with Him in heaven when this life is over. And I hope that you will take with you today from this lesson the picture of that deer so thirsty, with maybe its tongue hanging out, looking for a place to drink, wanting water so much. And the Bible says, as that deer is panting for that water, so we ought to desire God. If you have that kind of desire, it will lead you to live for Him. If you've not been baptized into Christ to become a Christian, you need to have that kind of desire today to want to do what God has said. And if as a Christian you need to be restored to your first love, to have that same kind of desire as the deer has. If that's your need, come as together we stand and sing.